CliffCentral.com.
So, Adrian Gore, after a day of interviews and press releases and excitement and the fact that this bank is launching, this is an incredible feather in the cap of Discovery, your team, people who've been planning this for a long time, and it's made lots of other banks very, very nervous. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, I think the receptivity has been great. I think the launch process brought together all of the issues. I think the value proposition is very tight. And I think the offering is more comprehensive and more disciplined than I think we thought it would be. You know, this idea of a behavioral bank has come together very, very tightly. And just listening, you know, you can never really get a sense of it until you're out there talking to people for the first time, you hear it and see it and give you feedback. And it's been very good. So I'm feeling very good about it. The team has worked like dogs to get here, but it looks good.
The story of Discovery up to now has been almost an evolutionary one. And while all the ideas that were good at the start continued to be good, I think a few might have fallen through along the way, but by and large, it's been something that's built upon prior successes. In this case, you had a chance to almost design it. I'd like to say rather than evolution, creative design. You know, the idea of being able to put all the pieces in place, but to have the incredible research facility of the health business and Vitality and insurance and all of these. You talk about it as a behavioral bank. That's probably going to be the most unique advantage, right?
I think it will be. I do think it will be. I think the whole idea of... Listen, I think you're right. I think over time, we've like learned different things, but it's all collapsed down to this behavioral shared value model. So we've, as a group, become more and more disciplined. So this was more about doing exactly that in a disciplined way. And I think it's our authentic difference. In other words, we didn't say, let's start a bank and what could we do differently? Mm. It was the other way around. It has an authentic model that works. It will apply to banking. So no hubris. I mean, I think we'll have to see, but I think it is a very different proposition because it is different and it's authentic. That's who we are.
And the idea of it being totally digital, is that just future-proofing it while you're in the creation process, or is it something that you think is going to become the only way to do anything?
I think in banking it's the only... I mean, I think standing in queues and branches to get your PIN, I mean, it's bizarre today, you know, so you don't need it at all. There are things you do need that are physical. You need an airport lounge, so you're going to build that kind of stuff.
Right.
But you don't need branches. So I think this is a modern bank, but it is omnichannel. So there are call centers. That's the idea. We still think need to speak to people. But also, if you look at it, I mean, I hope that's clear, that the actual product, we want it to be a beautiful product. So if you look at the app, you know, you can see your card color, you see the Vitality color, the archetypes of, you know, a black card on a gold frame. You know what I'm saying to you? We'd like it to be physical, not a digital experience with fields and, you know, it's a beautiful product.
Well, in some ways, it's been much harder to develop the hands-on health part of the business as a digital offering, because there you do need very much physical.
It's completely physical. Absolutely.
Interaction. But I'm curious about the target market here, because obviously there will be people from the current banking environment who'll be interested in giving this a try or completely converting. And a lot of people, I suppose, who are coming into it now that are, you know, young students, and you can grab them while they're young, and they're probably already part of the Discovery ecosystem in some way, which is another reason that people might want to join. But what about unbanked people? This is the big gorilla in the room that no one ever talks about.
Well, listen, I think that intellectually the idea of trying to get people to manage money well must apply incredibly to the unbanked market. Having said that, I think it's hard to reach. I think the obvious natural stomping ground for us must be the existing client base. And to an extent, anyone, you know, the banks are very scientific in their segmentation. We actually aren't. We're pretty agnostic. I mean, people with the broadest health, if you look at Discovery Health Medical Scheme, it goes from key, it's the biggest in the low-income side to the top. So that entire space, we kind of said, I said to you, anyone who's in the private healthcare system in some way is probably a target for us. But when we get it down to the unbanked, hopefully we will. I think it's not that easy. I think initially, our initial obvious soft spot of the Discovery Card members who we're going to migrate across over time. So we'll see how it plays out. But it should have applicability everywhere. It should be authentic and intuitive if we get it right.
Have you had to make any enemies during this process in terms of people who are in the world of banking? We all know about the buyback that had to be done because of interests in discovery by banks and that kind of thing, without, you know, trying to create controversy out of nothing. Are there friends of yours that are now slightly more difficult dinner companions than they were before?
Ironically, it's a great question. I don't think so. I think we're always overrated, which is not a great place for a startup to be. You know what I'm saying to you?
Right.
It's better to be underrated. So the banks, I think, are worried about us. I think they're too much, maybe. I think I'm proud of, you know, we've developed a partner culture around the world. So I think we make good partners. And I think good partners make often good negotiators. You know what I'm saying? So I think I hope that our approach to dealing with all of these banks, you know, is good. We still deal with all the banks, you know, they bank us to us in different ways. It's a little verbose answer. The answer is probably no. I hope we've got good friends, but they still worry about us and vice versa. But great respect for them. We've got some hard competitive years ahead of us.
What about the team that you've had to assemble for this? You've spoken, every time we've spoken to each other, about the value of a team, the people that make it work. When you were putting this together along with your core group, what were you looking for? Because the talent, that there is a huge amount of talent, but you have to do quite a lot of research and investigation in order to establish precisely who it is you need and where you need them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, how they all fit into the existing discovery environment.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great points. I mean, I think that if you look at the offering, as you said earlier, the research, that it's a pretty integrated, it's using a vitality chassis, it's using our partners, it's using... So this is a pretty group-wide initiative. It's not a bank team in a closed room that, you know, that just launched a product. But the actual bank team itself, led by Barry Hoare, is a pretty experienced team. Barry himself, I think you know, he's got a very good history of building very big platforms. So our initial thinking was we need people that could build a substantial technology backbone for this. And that's what we've got. And I think it shows. If you saw the demo of the app and the stuff, it's very impressive. So, I mean, at the product level, you're coalescing kind of banking capabilities with this behavioral model. Turns out you're doing the same at the people level. You know what I'm saying? You're getting people that can do that core banking stuff, and can you get them to work with the... And it's worked well. I think we've built an integrated group that's worked well. Not without its tensions and challenges and whatever, but very good. Good team.
What about the fact that we're in a technical recession? You've launched businesses before when people have said it hasn't been the sunniest time to do so, and I had the pleasure of hearing you speak at the leadership summit that you hosted the other day, and you had some extraordinarily interesting and quite, I think, economically invigorating points to make. You pointed out chiefly that we are pessimists and we're bad at being able to figure out that we're pessimists, so we're wrong and we're stupid about the fact that we're wrong. And you also pointed out that actually if our GDP had been extrapolated on the kind of growth that we were experiencing prior to the Zuma era, we would have been competitive with some of the world's best developed economies, which was, I think, for a lot of people, quite jarring. Is this optimism? Is that part of what means that the timing isn't ever going to be perfect and you've just got to get it going? You've just got to start it.
Listen, I think some businesses don't do well if you launch them the wrong time. They just, you know, on the other end, institutional businesses that take literally 5 to 8 years to build, you're going to go through the cycle for sure, no matter what you do. But having said that, it's better to build in difficult times, definitely. All opportunities are underpriced, and they must be. So the only time you shouldn't invest, it's not an optimism arm, it's an intellectual one. You should not invest if you're expecting Armageddon. If you're not, it's an intellectual. If you're not, it's going to come right. Invest when it's underpriced, and you'll be with me. So my view is not a naive optimism, it's quite the opposite. It's good to build in bad times, things are underpriced.
What do you think about the fact that South Africans are such bad savers? And how do you think we can, using models that you've already used in other areas of this business, how do you think we can figure out better ways to make South Africans behave like savers and behave like people who understand money rather than people who are victims of the lack of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a central point to what we're doing. I mean, our whole view is that South Africans, people are bad at it generally, but South Africans are bad at it. The whole construct of the bank is exactly that, to try and expose people firstly to these are the behaviors you should think about, to try and incentivize them through the vitality structure, then to offer them very valuable incentives to change. We've seen on the health side, some people really get it, others just do it for the sake of a status, or others do it for the sake of getting benefits out of it. But generally, we tend to move the population. You're going to move some people easily, some people will never change.
Mm.
But can you shift the distribution a bit? And the effect of that socially is dramatic. You don't need to, shifting a population slightly has a massive impact. So we're pretty confident that the behavioral model will work. There's a lot of science around the fact that people who learn how to withstand kind of instant gratification, whether it's health, can do the same in money. So there are a lot of correlations between the two.
In fact, it's probably harder in health.
It is harder. I think
because the incentives are so much more difficult to work for and hard to quantify.
Yeah, they're 40 years away. Tell a young person not to smoke. So things like smoking and weight loss, very hard behaviors to change, but they do change. So, I mean, we feel a sense of deep conviction you can do it.
Do you think credit's a problem? I mean, South Africans have been through a bit of a roller coaster ride. There was a point not so long ago when the banks would lend anyone money. Then there were reasons that they would lend no one money. And now I suppose they're very judicious about what they do and all very careful and watching each other like a hawk to try and figure out who's okay to back and who isn't. But for ordinary people, credit's an important component of this. How do you factor that in?
I think credit is a necessary thing for an economy for individuals. You've got to have it. It's the reckless spending around it. So some of the ratios in our Vitality Money, for example, watching what the percentage of income that goes to your unsecured debt, you're getting people to understand there's thresholds to that. But you need credit. People can't...
But you're not going to be giving credit for Black Friday sales, for example.
No, I think we'll be responsible and judicious. But the whole idea is we're democratizing it. We're hoping we educate you. You're going to have to make a choice.
Sure. And how will this, do you think, have a macroeconomic effect? I mean, we know our banking sector is regarded as being fairly stable. We made a lot of moves that were responsible during a time in the global economy where a lot of banks were not responsible. And a lot of people have nasty things to say about the big four and their stranglehold on finance in this country. How do you think you and possibly the clients that you will attract will be able to change these things for the better?
Well, I mean, we've seen it elsewhere. I think that if the model works, and I think it will, directly will change people. But I think the competitive narrative changes. We've seen it in the insurance industry, the whole issue. If you look globally now around what's driving insurance mindset, it's about pricing wellness into the actuarial components and encouraging. So, I mean, if we're successful, the big banks will respond by doing similar kinds of things, at least in the narrative, and that could have a transformative effect. I think the big banks are very good. I think they're morally, my sense, they try to do the right thing. They're businesses.
Sure.
But I think they're inherently transactional. They're very transactional. They don't engage in that kind of way. That's opportunity. But if you do it well, I think they'll have to follow.
Have there been any major stumbling blocks? In South Africa, you can't be blissfully unaware of the impact of government and the impact of the state and the impact of legislation and regulation on any environment. You guys know all about that when it comes to health. Have government made positive and useful maneuvers to smooth the way for you? Have they been troublesome or have they been neutral?
In the context of the bank, remarkably supportive.
Really?
And I must say, very responsibly so. The regulatory process is brutal and rigorous, but very fair. And in fact, there's ambiguities and issues. They've always, in my experience with this, has been 2 years, I think, of the whole licensing process. They've been remarkably, it's a very impressive regulatory environment. That's been our impression under the Reserve Bank, the Twin Peaks regulation. It's complex. It's not unlike the UK.
Mm.
So it's paradoxical, a country. There's certain elements where, you kind of have views and mindsets that it's not where it should be. But this has been a very, very good experience.
So the whole ecosystem is building. New pieces are coming in all the time. It's almost like the way Google's taken over information. And I don't say that as an insult. I say that as a huge compliment because it's a difficult thing to create, to manifest, to have grow, to see grow, and then to see people feeling rewarded by. But what's next? I mean, when you've built a bank, and I know that there is some time ahead for this to go through that process that you mentioned earlier. I mean, aren't you at a point where you've said enough? It just doesn't seem, you're still restless.
Yeah, if you look at the the blurring of boundaries for the customer. I mean, take, for example, long-term savings in banking. I don't think people see the differences necessarily. We see them in their different entities and different rates, but the ability to integrate those closer, there's a whole lot of, in a composite way, to offer better value that we are just literally scratching the surface, I think. So this thing will outlive me, I can tell you. This work to be done.
Exponential growth.
Yeah.
Terrific. If we can exponentially grow each person's ability to save, to invest, to be smarter about money, like so many people become smarter about health.
Make a big difference.
Then, yeah, quite apart from the business incentive to do that, you'd be doing South Africa a great social service.
No doubt. I think it'd be amazing.
Thank you very much. CliffCentral.com.